To Healing Our Brokenness, episode 51, and it's entitled I Can't See. When I was little and my grandmother lived in the projects, and I would often go over to her house to visit after my mom, dad, and I moved from living with her. My cousins and I would hang out with our friends, and it could have been maybe a good 3 or 4 of them that would hang out with us, and we would play out on what we called the gallery. We would close our eyes, hold our hands out, and sing this song. I can't see, I can't see. If I knock you down, don't you blame it on me. Kick, I can't see, I can't see. If I knock you down, don't you blame it on me. Kick. So while we had our eyes closed and our arms out, as soon as we said the word kick, we would swing our feet out, and basically put the other person in a position of possibly getting hurt. And I know you're probably thinking that was a pretty dangerous game. And yes, it was dangerous considering there were concrete floors in the projects. Each apartment had concrete floors, and there were concrete floors outside. So someone could have seriously gotten hurt. There were 3 things that went on with this song and with what we did, with our actions. Number one, we put ourselves in the physical position of not being able to see. We intentionally put ourselves in that physical position. Number two, we deceived ourselves and believed the lie that we could not see, and that was due to, number one, our physical position. And number three, we refused to take responsibility for causing ourselves to be put in the position of not being able to see. This was all self-inflicted. When I was married, I also sang the song, I Can't See, I Can't See, except it was to a different tune. I was in a marriage where I turned my head and pretended not to see the emotional and psychological abuse that was going on in my home, the constant gaslighting, the affairs that continued to rage throughout the entire marriage and was going on right in front of my face, and the feeling that something was off. Initially, I paid attention to it, but then after a while, I also sang, I can't see, I can't see. And why did this happen? Same situation as when I was a child playing the game with my cousin and our friends. Number one, I set myself up for the physical position of turning my head. Number two, I deceived myself and believed the lie that Satan told me. If I turned my head, then what was really going on was not really going on. And that was a lie from the pit of hell. And then number three, I refused to take responsibility because of number one, my physical positioning. Just recently, I had a situation to occur that was very scary. And this happened about a good 3 weeks ago on my way to work. There's always some type of on my way to work drama, but God always shows up. I was halfway to work, and all of a sudden, the idea popped in my head about driving in fog. And what I realized after it happened is that it had to have been the Holy Spirit preparing me for what I was about to go into subconsciously. As I'm driving along, gospel music turned up, blasting, air conditioning on, I get this thought in my head, man, since I'm a new driver, and there are going to be some mornings where the fog is pretty bad, I just don't think that I'm going to drive in on a morning like that. I'll either take Uber or ride with a coworker, but I definitely don't think I'm going to drive in that type of weather. It had not even barely been 2 minutes that this thought was in my head that I entered a fog zone. And when I entered the zone, I panicked. And I kept saying, I can't see, I can't see. And I said it out loud, I can't see. And I thought that perhaps all I needed to do was to change the settings so that the window would be clearer, the front window. And I had one hand on the steering wheel, the other hand trying to flick the light on that was behind me. That was the overhead light, so that I can make sure that I could see what I was doing and pay attention to the road, because I could only see a little bit in front of me. After repeating, I can't see several more times, I had to talk myself down and remind myself that I was setting myself up, positioning myself for Satan to get a foothold. And I reminded myself, yes, Tina, that is the truth. You cannot see. However, Jesus is going to have to light up this road for you. He can see, but you can't. Calm down. I turned the music up a little bit louder with the volume button on my phone. Took my time in, as scared as I don't know what, but zoned out into the praise music and driving as carefully as I possibly could on the road. And when I reached my workplace, I quickly ran to the bathroom, and all those emotions that were pent up from me literally feeling like I was in survival mode and fighting for my life, they all came out. And I just had to lean against the stall and let it out from all of the fear that had been pent up in me. And what happened this past week was a repeat, except it was even worse than the first time. I got maybe 4 blocks from my house, and I realized that the fog was so thick, I could barely see a few feet in front of me. I debated over whether I should keep going or just go ahead and turn back around after driving 4 blocks. And this played in my head, Like a song, what should I do? Should I turn back around? I can't hardly see anything in front of me, but I'm not going to keep repeating it like I did the last time. I decided to go ahead and push forward and go to work in those conditions. The entire ride was dense fog. And the only thing that held me in a good, safe place of positioning was remembering that the Lord had walked with me just 2 weeks prior to this incident, and he helped me. Had that not happened, I know I would have for sure turned around. I would have panicked and focused on those three words, I can't see, to the point of working myself up into an uproar. When I got to work, I did not have a lot of pent-up emotions as last time. I did need to let a little grief out, but it wasn't as bad. There's always the point when you are feeling like you're fighting for your life, when the adrenaline is going, and at that time, you don't really have the capacity to process things. It's not until afterwards that you do that. But even so, the second time around was more dangerous. However, my faith had increased because of the first time around. And this was what God showed me the first time after I got to work and let those emotions out. Yes, you could not see. That was the truth. You could not see. However, I could. And what I remember telling the Lord the first time that it happened is, Jesus, you say in your word, you are the light of the world. Light this road up. Because right now I cannot see. Light it up for me, Lord. And I drove. Adrenaline pumping, emotions raging, but I drove. And this was the first time that it happened. And the second time I said, Lord, you're the light of the world. You got to light the road up like you did last time. I know you can. And I was as scared as I could be, but I drove slowly. And as I told my coworkers, you know that the weather is bad when no one tries to pass you, when you're going under the speed limit and they're not trying to get anywhere close to you. That was very telling, those particular times. And the first time, the other thing that the Lord gave me, yes, is that you could not see, but I had angels all around that vehicle. And Isaiah 42:16 comes to mind, where God tells us, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. And that's Isaiah 42:16. And it's promises like that we have to hold on to when Satan is having us to repeat over and over again, I can't see. And we have to say the devil is a liar. Yes, that's the truth. If it is the truth, and then we have to move on. For the two instances with the fog, they were complete opposites of when we sang the song as a child and what I did in my marriage. Number one, I was not aware of my physical positioning until I got out there in the elements. Number two, I eventually looked at the truth for what it was. I did not try to ignore the truth of not being able to see. Number three, I accepted responsibility for the position I was in, and I weighed out all of my options, and I clung to God like never before, as if my life depended on it. When we read Mark, the 8th chapter, the 22 through 26 verses, we have another man who could not see. He was blind. It says, they came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." And when I was riding in that car, both of those times, and especially the first time when I kept on repeating, "I can't see, I can't see," Jesus was asking me, "Do you see anything?" And when I got to work, I realized, yes, Jesus, I did. I could not see them, but then again, I could, in the sense that spiritually I knew that, yes, your angels had that car and was all around that car and was driving me to work, even though I couldn't see them. But yes, I see clearly now that I was spiritually blind, but now I see. So my challenge for you today is thinking about, what are you positioning yourself for not seeing, instead of facing the truth and being responsible and doing something about it? I hope that this podcast episode has brought some type of enlightenment, that has blessed you. And if it has, if you can tag us on social media, give a shout out to a friend, share it, give us a review on iTunes. And I hope that you have a blessed rest of your Sunday. Until next time.
Turn those valleys into places to learn, instead of burn and perish away. And nights never so cold without His grace, how could I say that I've seen the world from His great love? How could I know what He could love? Store for me if I didn't give up and let Him be my valley of grace, where things would change and maybe they'd take up the cross high again. The valley of grace never was the same after He had died. Love that refines. So much for me.